the Chancellor of Bob Jones University, Dr. Bob Jones III.
Somebody said, meekness is the bridle of God on the heart. Let me say that again. It is the bridle of God on the heart. The dictionary definition of meekness is mildness of temper, patience under injuries, long-suffering. It could also be described as a tractable disposition. Meekness is the opposite of self-assertiveness, self-promotion, self-interest, an easy-to-be-entreated disposition. Does this describe you?
If someone were asked to describe your temperament, would the virtue of meekness be given as a part of that description? In today's message, Dr. Jones gives us a biblical definition of meekness and shows how this virtue begins with a submission to God and results in the cheerful acceptance of each event that comes into our life. Now, here's Dr. Bob Jones III, Chancellor of Bob Jones University, with today's message.
We haven't done this in a while, but let's say together the little responsive thing that we do from time to time to keep ourselves reminded now, and I hope lifelong, of the indebtedness we owe to lost people. I'll say the first part and would ask you to complete it, please. The most sobering reality in the world today is that it's not just something we say here, but it is to imprint the truth of that upon our hearts. I had the privilege of speaking at an annual conference that the Trinity Baptist Church in Concord, New Hampshire sponsors. It was for years pastored, some 20 years, by Dr. Chuck Phelps, and now he has moved on to Maranatha. And Brian Fuller is the pastor. And during that conference, where some of us here were privileged to be preaching and providing music, Pastor Fuller reminded the people that one of the things that has remained with him most of all through his years at BJU is what we've just said today. People are dying and going to hell today, the most sobering reality in the world today. There are many things going on in the world that sober us today, are there not? Many things in our country that are sobering and distressing. But there is nothing to compare with this. People are dying and going to hell today. I invite you to open your Bibles to Matthew 5:5. You probably don't need to turn there. I will be asking you to turn to other places as well. I have three opportunities to preach to you between now and the end of the school year, and all three of them will be spent on this one theme, because if you ask me what is the greatest lack in Bible preaching churches today, where is it that the most trouble stems from in the hearts and lives of the people sitting in those pews? What is it that is creating this often deplorable scenario in Christendom at this hour? I would have to say it's a lack of meekness, which the Bible has so much to tell us of. And if we could get hold of this and let it get hold of us, and if we could begin to pray the prayer that I pray, Lord, I am not a meek person by nature. Now, some of you are, because you're under greater control of the Holy Spirit than I am. And I long to be under that control in a greater measure. As an example, we had some guests at our house for lunch, and I was headed back to the office. As I was coming from the library across the front circle, when I got to the welcome center, without stopping, a truck pulling a big, long trailer with some, I think it was lawn equipment on it or something, came in through the front entrance, did not stop, came right in front of me. I had to apply the brakes, and my first reaction was one of great agitation. And then I started laughing, and then I started repenting and saying, Lord, when am I ever going to learn this lesson of meekness? Because at that very moment, I was thinking about this message. I was meditating upon this message of meekness to you. And while in the very moment of thinking of that, in my heart, I was not engaging in it. I had to say, Lord, forgive me. I've got to learn this lesson. James said in the 4th chapter of James, whence come fightings and wars among you? Came they not hence, even of the lusts that war in your members? You lust and have not. You kill and desire to obtain and have not. You fight and war. We'll talk from the scripture in these three messages about meekness, where it comes from, what the Bible has to say about it. The Lord said, blessed are the meek, Matthew 5:5, for they shall inherit the land. Bible scholars debate about what that means, inherit the land. But I would side, as I have studied this, with those who say, while it may mean the Jews will inherit the land that God has promised them if they wait patiently and meekly for God to deliver it to them, I think it also could mean, blessed are the meek who will inherit the earth when there's the new heaven and the new earth that is coming one day by God's grace. Why will the meek inherit that? Because they had to be meek before they said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You can't be saved until you come to a point of meekness where you say, Lord, I have no good thing in me. There's humility in saying that. There is meekness in saying, God, be merciful to me. I am a sinner. It takes meekness to say, I am a sinner and I have no good thing that can commend me to God. Those people will be the ones, because in that day it will be a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. There will be no sinners there, only redeemed ones. But this much we know to be true. And I want to hasten to say this at the very first, because I will be saying it to some degree later. But wimps are not meek. Wimps are just wimps. Okay. Don't confuse meekness and cowardice. There are probably some of you sitting there and say, oh, three messages on weakness. Is he going to be talking about limperous? Is this what he's talking about? No, not at all. That's not what the Bible tells us about meekness. Meekness is a powerful virtue. Meekness is a virtue possessed by people who are strong enough to be gentle. In 2 Samuel 22, the psalmist David said of God, thy gentleness, God, has made me great. Lord, you weren't rough with me. It's by your mercy I'm not consumed. Thank you, Lord, for your patience and your long suffering. God can be that way because he's strong. He's not threatened by anybody. He is omnipotent. All power belongs to him. Gentle people are people that have strength that enables them to be gentle. First of all, I want to talk to you about meekness described. I want to describe it by what it isn't. It is not a coach who is screaming mad at a referee because he thinks he got a bad call, and his arms are back and his head is thrust and his eyes are bugging and the arteries are showing in his throat and his face is red and he's spewing his bad breath in the referee's face. That's not meekness. It is not road rage. It is not abusive fathers at home who terrorize their wife and their children with hateful, hostile, threatening words. Fathers out of control. Meekness is not found in most professional athletes or even collegiate athletes. It is not in many theologues, young theologues who are arrogantly boasting of their theological gifts on blogs and taking the older generation to task as people who don't know anything. Adulterers are not meek. Did you ever know a meek adulterer? I believe it was Luther who said, adultery is God's judgment on the sin of pride. Think about that. Think of all the grief, the shame, the humiliation, the lifelong wreck and ruin that adultery brings to the lives of everybody involved and those on the periphery of it, the children, the friends. When you think of the horror and the shame that is brought because of adultery, and you think really at the root of it, is pride. Adultery is God's judgment upon the sin of pride. You never knew a meek adulterer, did you? It's impossible to think of it. Meekness is not a Christian who takes another Christian to court. 1 Corinthians 6, beginning at verse 6. Brother goeth to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. Now, therefore, there is utterly a fault among you because you go to law one with another. Why do you not rather take wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Nay, you do wrong. End of argument. Never, ever, for any reason, does a Christian go to court with another Christian. The Bible says it's better for you to suffer wrong, loss, than to take a brother to court. A meek Christian does not do this. He seeks arbitration, mediation, whatever and whatever, but he doesn't go to court with a brother. A meekness is not an easy to be entreated church member. I think of Diotrephes when I think of the antithesis to meekness in the church. And we have them in the churches today. It is not just in the church that John was writing to in the book, little book of 3 John. It is characteristic of people in all ages, in all churches that believe and preach the Bible. You probably have one of these in your church or have had at one time or another. And I pray that you are spared of such a person at this hour. But the church exists long enough, someone by the name of Diotrephes will be back. John describes him in verses 9 and 10. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, received us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he does, prating against us with malicious words, not content therewith, but neither does he receive the brethren. And he forbids those in the church who would. And he refuses to let those brethren come to the church. Here's a man that wants to control the church. Somebody, a layman in the church, that wants to run the show. What is he describing? The absence of meekness. A great percentage of the wars and fightings and disputes within churches have at their root the lack of meekness, which God requires and which is one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit to the believer. Maybe you have a roommate who is far from meek. If so, it would manifest itself in many ways. But one way would be if on the telephone with his parents, he is screaming and yelling and arguing and doing everything but cursing his or her parents. When that happens, and I pray that it would not in your room, but it does happen here. It may have happened even already today in some of your rooms. You just mark it down. This person knows nothing of meekness or of respect. What is meekness? Well, we've looked at some negative examples. What it isn't. Well, let's talk about what it is. Somebody said meekness is the bridle of God on the heart. Let me say that again. It is the bridle of God on the heart. A meek horse, one that has been wild and has been tamed, will now respond to the bridle in the hands of the rider. The meek horse can be turned wherever the owner, the rider, desires for that horse to go. It could rebel. It has the strength to resist. At one time it was that way, but now it is a meek horse. It is a broke horse. The dictionary definition of meekness is mildness of temper, patience under injuries, long-suffering. It could also be described as a tractable disposition, an affable disposition, an easy-to-be-entreated disposition. Does this describe you? If not, there's some real heart searching that should be taking place today. And as these messages continue, meekness is the opposite of self-assertiveness, self-promotion, self-interest. Meekness is a response toward those who have wronged you. And when you respond to injustice with meekness, it simply says, I believe God is in control. I believe God can justify me when I know that I am not guilty of these malignings, these false accusations. I can trust God in His providence to bring this out in the right way and to teach me, even through this injustice, and to purify me. That's what meekness is. Somebody said meekness begins with submission to God and results in cheerful acceptance of events and people that He allows to come into our lives. If the events are harsh, the people angry, obstinate, or hurtful, none of this embitters us, because our hearts bow before the rule of God, who permits the injuries or the injustices as a part of His purifying and perfecting work in us. Turn to Galatians chapter 5 for a further look at the Bible definition of meekness. And we'll have to end this message with this. Galatians 5, beginning at verse 22 and 23, and then 25 and 26. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. The opposite of the fruit of the Spirit is provoking one another and envying one another. Under the control of the fruit of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit who lives within us, we will not provoke one another. We will not envy one another. So what does this passage tell us? Meekness is a temperament produced by the Holy Spirit in us. It is not produced because we just grit our teeth and determine to change. If you find yourself lacking in this evidence, this temperament produced by the Holy Spirit's activity in your heart, if you find yourself lacking in that, then there's only one way to receive meekness. That's to say, dear Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit in me, make me a meek person. Because only the Holy Spirit can do this. It is not a natural fruit of the natural man, the unsaved man. It is not the fruit of the carnal Christian. The lack of it is an evidence of a carnality in the life to be repented of. It is the fruit of the Spirit, the product of the Holy Spirit's activity in our hearts. W.E. Vine, the theologian, said, "The temper of the spirit in which we accept God's dealings with us as good and therefore without disputing or resisting is closely related to the word humility. It is the humble of heart which is also the meek, which does not fight against God. This meekness is also such in the face of men, even evil men, out of a sense that these men, with the insults and injuries which they may inflict, are permitted and employed by God for chastening and purifying." Do you have that kind of confidence in the reality of God in your life and His work in your life? Do you have that kind of confidence in His goodness and His knowledge for what you need in your life, that you are willing to let God use the abuses and vilifications and misdealings of evil men against you to purify and perfect you? Are you willing and able to allow that to happen without retaliation, without seeking personal vengeance in return against them? Without seeking retaliation against them for the personal injury that they have inflicted upon you? Are you willing to forgive maybe parents who have failed you because the marriage broke up? Or even an incestuous parent? Or harsh and hurtful words of a former really good friend or someone to whom you had a romantic interest that cut ties with you and hurt you and wounded you? You've become really bitter over these things. Bitterness in the life is evidence that meekness does not rule there, because meekness says God is in control. I have nothing of which to be bitter. This is part of the goodness and perfection of God, and He will bring it out to His glory and my good, and I will rest in Him. I will be at peace with Him over this and with others. That's meekness. And there's so much more that I look forward to sharing with you that God has been teaching me about this wonderful fruit of the Spirit. Let's pray together. Father, start a good work in us. We're all going our separate ways in just a few weeks. And there's some, if they don't come to grips with this, they're going back in bitterness and anger to create friction in their homes and in their churches, wherever they go. Some of them are creating friction now, every day on this campus, in their rooms, in their workplace, in their classrooms, and in conversations back home by the phone with their families, just because of the carnality that is evident in the absence of the fruit of the Spirit, the meekness that You desire to produce in us. So, Father, do a good work and make us thoughtful of these things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
May each who desire the virtue of meekness seek help from the only one who can give it, the Holy Spirit of God. Today's message was preached by the Chancellor of Bob Jones University, Dr. Bob Jones III. Thanks for joining us for today's program of Chapel Echoes. This is Charles Kells for Bob Jones University, encouraging you to join us next week for another recent message from the Chapel Platform on Chapel Echoes, an outreach ministry of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina.